And now, here's your host of Shaping Success, Wes Tankersley.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to Shaping Success. We're back. It's Wednesday. That means Robert Watson is in the house. Got my copy of the book in the mail right here. Ours Victorious. Let's see if we can get the angle correctly. Robert's got it on his shirt, and he's got a new background we were talking about a little bit earlier that's pretty freaking cool. What's going on, Robert?
Oh, man, it's a beautiful day. Got up late, had to run in the rain. You know, it's all the things that you love, you know, as the sweat's pouring down the side of my head. Yeah, it's life. But the background is an artist friend of mine. She did it. It's the paint is actually crystal. So it's basically a mixture of different crystals. I think there's like 20 crystals in there.
That's pretty freaking cool.
And it's got the logo superimposed. So that's my new background. As I said to you, that's my 2.0.
Very nice.
And of course the shirts are different too now.
Yes, they are. Is that a different, that's what you had on last week, I think, or is that a third one?
No, this is the one I had on last week. This is called Ars Victorious, but this is Not Without Danger.
Not Without Danger. Yep, not that's right.
Danger.
I too like to live dangerously.
That's it. Somebody had Danger as their middle name, I remember.
Yep, the old Austin Powers. Can't go wrong with little Mike Myers. Well, I have two different versions. Well, I have the book, I read a little bit out of order, so we'll get that figured out, but we've reordered, renumbered, and I'll go through and double check as we go through. But this one is called Stories. This is actually Maxim 15 in the book, correct?
Right. Yeah, this is, actually in the book, it's Story 15. This is, we've left the Maxims at 13.
Okay.
And this just becomes the practical applications of the Maxims. This is my opportunity after my first year at A&M to walk down to the Memorial City Mall and decide to join the Army. Well, actually decide to join the service. I didn't know what Army or Navy or Air Force. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew I needed to change my life and I needed to make one of those really, really big decisions. And so I did. And it was a really, really simple decision. I looked at it like I'm not joining the Navy because if the boat gets shot out from underneath me, I don't want to swim home. And the Air Force, if the plane gets shot out from underneath me, I don't have wings. And the Marine Corps wasn't my thing. So I figured I could walk. So I joined the Army.
So tell us a little bit about this, because I know that I've interviewed you a couple times as far as like just talking, you know, about your story and things like that. At this point, how old are you? Where are we at? Because, you know, you had a kind of a, was football before or after? How did this all work out?
Well, it was funny because this is actually, I'm 19. I'm coming back from my freshman year at A&M and my high school girlfriend. Oh my God, I hope she doesn't see this. she basically says, you know, don't you think it's time for us to get married? And I'm 19, right?
Oh yeah.
And I'm thinking, no, this is not the time for us to get married. And so instead of being, you know, doing the right thing, I ran off and joined the Army.
This is time for me to run away.
It's time for me to run. So I went ahead and joined the Army, but it was just the reserve. So basically I had to serve my basic training one summer, my advanced the next, and I got to go back to college.
Okay.
So nothing really changed except for I now got to go overseas with the Army and all that stuff. And I got the opportunity once I was in and I had finished my second bout of training, that's when I went back and tried to make it to the NFL because I ended up playing for the Army for a little while. Okay. And it was like, okay, I still love this. We're still really good. And let me give it a shot. And that was the 83 year when all the guys that were fantastic quarterbacks were all drafted. That's your Jim Kelly year. That's all that group.
Yep.
And so that's my
you actually competed against Jim Kelly, did you not?
Well, no, it wasn't much of a competition in the sense that he came out of, he was the number one draft pick. And so basically I was going to get a chance to compete and he got drafted and that pretty much ended that. Because when you make a big commitment for someone like that, you're not going to take an undrafted guy. It's just not going to work. I don't care how good you are. They just spent a couple $1 million on somebody. You're nobody. So that ended that. But we met and got a chance to get to know each other a little bit, and he's a great guy. Yeah. But it just wasn't my time.
I was going to say, you could be like Brock Purdy, but he wasn't. It's not that he didn't get drafted. He just got drafted last.
Yeah. The evaluation for quarterbacks is, as you know, each and every year is really, really bad, because you see so many first round quarterbacks that really don't stay in the league beyond their first contract.
Yeah.
So you realize that the transition from college to pros is extremely hard. The game is very fast. The windows are very small. And what works for you in the NFL, it works for you in college, does not work in the NFL.
Yeah, and there's a couple guys that I remember, back out in my database. Ryan Leaf was one of them, kind of washed out. And who's the other guy? The guy for the Raiders. I can't remember his name. Jamarcus Russell. Like, these guys get drafted number one, and they're just number one or number two or whatever, and just a bust. It's crazy. Yeah.
There's so many of them. You lose track after a while, right? Heisman Trophy winners, the whole nine yards, and it doesn't matter, because the game is just so much harder and so much more cerebral at that level, and so less physical. And a lot of the guys in college are surviving on athletic ability, not their between the ears stuff.
They're not quite a student of the game yet, right? Like, they don't have they don't know how to do anything without their coach. Because it's funny the transition that happens there, and you kind of tying it into what's going on, taking these risks and going there and doing the things that you need to do. You go from mom and dad are here pushing me to be a better player, and then now you have these coaches, like, they're a little bit harsher on you, but they're still kind of got that mom and dad mentality. And then you go somewhere, it's like, you're a man, I'm not doing this. You do your job or we're going to have issues.
Yeah. And even when you watch there's a show on Apple TV called Dynasty, and it's basically taking you through the Patriots, right? Uh-huh. And you get a view of Tom Brady in that situation. You realize who he was, that it's a Brock Purdy kind of thing.
Yeah.
Drafted real late. Really was not a specimen coming out of school. Nobody really would have given him. Even though he was successful, he at a big school, it didn't make any difference. Nobody really thought that much of him. And you can see how bad the analysis is.
Yeah.
That's truly going to end up being the greatest of all time. And you couldn't analyze him fairly coming out of college.
Yeah.
Right. No, so,
yeah, obviously. There you go. We got a couple people banging in the chat room here. Nikki, Jenny, Joanne is with us for a little bit here. Michelle here. CeCe, thanks, guys, for hanging out with us. We're going through the book. We've done this, 14 times now. So you've been kind of talking a little bit about this in your TikToks as well, about, just being risk and failure and enduring the pain and doing those things. Like, tell us a little bit about, how that plays out in this chapter. Or,
well, the idea is to anytime you're taking a risk, I took a risk, I joined the Army, I went in and took a general test of your abilities. It's called ASVAB, and I got a 99, and the answer was it's not 99 out of 100. I scored better than 99 percentile. I scored the 1 percentile. And so when my recruiter came back to me, he said, you have your choices, and this will throw you. You have the choice of being MP, military police, a nuclear physicist, right? And I was like, what? Or military intelligence. He said, well, you scored a 99. Here's what we recommend because of your physical size in MP. He says, your intellect, a nuclear physicist, but, we could really use you in intelligence. And so the risk was, as I said, well, I'll take intelligence. I really did not want to blow up a nuclear device, and MP was not my thing. So I ended up in an intelligence unit that was called interview only, meaning you could not be placed in the unit. They had to interview you. They happened to be in Europe at that time. And so I was slotted in the unit, and they had 60 days to reject me. Right. And say, you can't slot him because it's interview only. Well, they were in Europe. they came back and it was 4 or 5 months later that they realized they had a new person in their unit. And, you know, it's a 9-man detachment that's very specialized, and they couldn't do anything. They couldn't get rid of me. Right. And so it was really, really cool because it was the opportunity of a lifetime. It taught me things that you know, I got to go to Europe every single solitary year. I was on the front lines of the Cold War, and it was really, I hate to say this. Yes, it was my ASVAB score that got me in the game, but the rest of it was just luck. Mm-hmm. It was taking a risk, doing something somebody else would not do, which is, you know, here I'm a college kid. I could have joined the Corps of Cadets and went that right, but instead I went right into the Army. Again, you know, you just start taking risks. You start stepping out, not knowing what the world has for you. And to be honest with you, you know, it's like stepping off a curb. You can either walk clinging to the other side of the street or get hit by a car. I mean, there are outcomes.
But yeah, and that's, it was funny when you said what it was a lot of luck, but it was like you were just in the right place at the right time. Like other people may have not had that opportunity that you had because, number one, they didn't score as high, because that's not common, you know, for people to score that high. Famously, David Goggins had to, you know, he took the ASVAB and then had to take it, study, you know, months to get just a score to be able to be a SEAL, which has got to be higher as well. It's just crazy how, you know, you did it right off the bat.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things. It's not a really hard test. It's a test of basically aptitude. One of the things I always remember, if a gear goes this way, which way's the other gear go?
Yeah.
I swear to God, it was not, you know, now was there hard parts on it? Of course there were, because they were assessing you fully. And so it just so happened that I just happened to do really well on that day, you know, and got doors open for me. And the rest of it kind of became history because I got, you know, incredible mentors. It's not just about opportunity. And I think people have to realize this when they get their life story. My life, and I say it in the book, is not very interesting. But the people I encounter along the way makes my life very interesting. Because it is really the mentors that I had and the people that brought me along that made my life so interesting. It wasn't like, you know, I'm some kind of action hero. That wasn't it. It was, I had, you know, some absolutely wonderful mentors. And some of it, again, was putting myself in the position to get lucky. And the other part was getting lucky. It's the same thing. I'm finishing a master's here at A&M. I graduate in about 3 weeks. But I have had such wonderful professors. You know, did I put myself in the position late in life to do this? Sure. Did I make the choices? Yeah. But did I have the luck of having fabulous people to mentor me? Absolutely. Talk about things now. They talk about things that I lived.
And that's the thing. It's like, it's amazing because you know, the adage that I've said multiple times is, you can't get in the game from sitting on the bench. Like if you're on the bench, if you're sitting there collecting the splinters, you know, you're never going to get in the game. You have to be like, even as a coach, like I'm looking to the people who are on the rail, watching the game, talking their team up, getting them going. They're the person who's going to get in the game because they're showing that they want to be there, that they're really willing to do that. And that's putting yourself in that situation. If you put yourself in that situation, it'll happen. But if you don't, the guy sitting on the bench might not ever get in the game because they don't put themselves in the right situation to make it happen. So
there's a really, really cool story. My stepson, great kid, he went to play football in high school, and he wasn't particularly good. You know, he wasn't particularly fast, but he was a good player. So the coach comes and visits with me and says, "Mr. Watson, I have to tell you, but you know, your son's just not going to play a lot. Okay. He's like 2 and 3 on our depth chart. He's a great kid. He's got a great heart, but you know, we just don't really know where to position him." So that's the story from the coach, right? So I go to the first game, and this seriously, so he is third on the depth chart at cornerback. Okay. Third, mm-hmm. right? On the first play, defensive play, the corner goes down. Okay. On the third play, the second corner goes down. Okay. He's in the game on the second series, right? Gets even weirder. On the offensive side of the ball, he's a backup fullback. I know that sounds really weird from corner to fullback, but that's,
that is a little different.
I know. a little different. And so the fullback goes down. He's the backup fullback. So he's now on the offensive side on the ball. Well, he's already on special teams. So what you have to see is he literally is the only kid on the field that doesn't move. The teams come on and off, and he stays on the field.
Right.
This is a kid who was not supposed to play, never leaves the field in the first game, and he never came off the field for the rest of his career. Okay. Just one of those things. And, you know, there was who was that quarterback at the Raiders for a long time, a kid out of Houston, went to Clemens, Derek Carr.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. So his quarterback in Clemens was Derek Carr. He completed, I think, 17 touchdown passes to my stepson, right? This is a kid who wasn't fast enough to play, wasn't blah, 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 blah. Doesn't matter. Again, talk about coach's assessment, right?
Yeah.
This is a kid who did not come off the field and who a former, you know, eventual pro quarterback ends up throwing 17 touchdowns to a fullback.
Right.
You explain that one.
Yeah,
they literally had to change the plays for him.
And it's crazy because that assessment on anyone, you look at like all these great quarterbacks. I mean, obviously we talked about Tom Brady, you look at Joe Montana. It's like, you have to have the right coach who believes in you, and you have to put yourself in the right position. And the only way to do that is to be doing the very best you can, no matter what. It doesn't matter if you suck in someone's eyes, you just continue pushing and continue making the right choices and making yourself better, and you're going to end up in the right place. But you can't do that if you don't put yourself in that situation.
Right. And, you know, game day is different than practice. If a kid shows up on game day and all of a sudden the coaches are like, holy crap, he's good. Well, maybe he didn't stand out in practice, but in games, he stands out. Well, guess what? He didn't come out.
Yeah.
You know, he plays for the rest of the time. And so the moral of the story for my stepson is he made the most of an opportunity.
Right.
Right. Wasn't supposed to get that opportunity. A absolute freak of nature that he gets the opportunity. Well, he never played. I don't think he played defense for the rest of the time because he stood out as fullback. Right. And just played lights out for the rest of the year, actually into the next year. So really a delight to see somebody seize an opportunity and do something with it. It's pretty amazing.
Yep. And I think that's a pretty good moral of the story is that, you know, we all get caught in the fact that we don't think we can do something, but if we are willing to take the chance, take the opportunity, get through the fear, we're going to make something happen.
Yeah. And that's really the concept of stories in the chapter is it talks about the way a story is, there's a main character and there's an obstacle, right? And yep. Then there's a victory. And sometimes the obstacle, of course, a lot of times our obstacle is ourselves, right? We can't get out of our own way. But sometimes there's an opponent or something that makes the challenge worth doing. And so that story is what you get to recount to people, and those what activate your mind is when you hear of a guy like Tom Brady who never really gets his chance, so supposedly to be the starter. He's never the day one penciled in starter until he's the day one penciled in starter and never loses his job again for 23 years.
Yep.
Some, you know, again, a number that's hard for us to fathom, but this again is just the way life presents itself. And, you know, you have to take those opportunities and you have to seize them when you get them. It is not just a function of, hey, I got this really cool opportunity, man. You got to seize it. And, you know, Brady not only seized it, but he figured out a way to play much longer than anybody thought. And not just play.
Yeah.
But play at the highest level.
I got a feeling if he decided he was going to put a helmet and pads back on today, he'd probably still be pretty damn successful.
Yeah. And, you know, given it, in some of it, he'll tell you, he said, you know, he still laments that perfect season, right?
Yeah.
And you hear him in interviews and he says, the guy caught the ball with his helmet. I was beat by a guy who caught the ball with his helmet. He said, that's the way life is. Sometimes things don't go your way. You have to accept that. He said, that was the best team we ever had.
Yep.
He said, and yet it was a guy catching the ball with his helmet that made the difference between being a perfect season. But he said, that's the way life goes. And you got to be able to do it. But that makes the coolest stories, right?
Yep.
I mean, because you don't, David Tyree was the wide receiver, which how would anybody even remember the guy's name? Right? He doesn't go on to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's not Jerry Rice. Yet on that day,
he was great.
Pretty cool.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, another awesome chapter. I think it's great to, you know, kind of think about that. And I hope that people really realize that it's really the fear that stops us. We are our biggest bully, and we have to be willing to just continue to mash forward and work through it.
Exactly.
All right, Robert. Well, we will reconvene next Wednesday. Thanks for hanging out with us. Everyone in the chat room, appreciate you being here. Make sure that if you are listening to this for the first time, you subscribe. If you want to join the Patreon, you can. It is patreon.com/westtankersley. Go check that out. We do this on TikTok. You can subscribe over there. Helps us keep the show going. Until next time, I challenge you to find the shape of your success.